In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, the Gospel, Matthew, the 15th chapter. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a very comforting text today. I know it does not appear that way at first. I mean, if you look just straightforwardly at the text, you have a Canaanite woman whose daughter is oppressed by a demon. That's not comforting. And you have her crying out to Jesus. But he answers her not one single word. She begs him for help. And the disciples then beg that Jesus send this woman away so she can stop bothering them for 5 minutes. Jesus doesn't even respond to the woman. He sort of just blurts out a phrase to the disciples who are begging him to send her away. He says, "I was sent only to the lost house of Israel." Then there is the tender scene. You can almost see it, can't you? A mother in need who would do anything for her daughter comes and she kneels before the feet of Jesus and she says, "Lord, help me." The most tender moment in all the text. And Jesus simply says this: "It is not right to take the children's bread, the bread that belongs to the Jews who are in that Jewish bloodline, and throw it to dogs, to Gentiles, to outsiders." Now, I will grant you, there is nothing at all beautiful about watching someone that you love suffering when you can do nothing and you are weak and you are powerless to help. There is nothing beautiful or comforting about going and asking Jesus over and over and over and over and over. Are you getting annoyed yet? And over and over and over again at all. Nothing comforting about that at all. And so it does not appear on the surface that this text has any comfort to give. But I urge you, dear saints of the living God, I urge you, look deeper. Let's look at the Canaanite woman for just a minute. Why is she so persistent in begging, in pleading, in asking? Because she believes that Jesus is the Lord. He is God, and yet he is also, as the Son of God, David's son as well. He is David's Lord, and he is David's son. And what's surprising is, she's a Gentile. She's not part of the flesh and blood Jews whom this Messiah will come from. She's not part of the covenant promise there, given initially there in Abraham's descendancy. She's not part of that promise. And surprisingly, she gets what very few Jews who are surrounded by Jesus at this time actually get. She believes that Jesus is the Son of God, and at the same time, he is the Son of David. She knows that Jesus is Israel's Messiah, that he is the Lord, the Son of David. And perhaps most surprising is that as an outsider, she not only believes this, but she believes that Jesus has more than enough for her at his table. Jesus has so much, in fact, at his table. His table is so rich, and it is so deep, and it is so plentiful, and it is so gracious, it is so compassionate, it is so merciful, that it abounds even for her. So she says, "Yes, Lord." She does not get offended at all by being called a dog, a Gentile. And I hate the English translations on this one. They unilaterally do one of two things. They unilaterally either say "but" or "yet," as if she's arguing with Jesus. She's not arguing with Jesus. In the Greek, this word is "gar." It means "for" or "because." So she says, "Yes, Lord, you are right. Your words are trustworthy and true. I am a dog, and I don't deserve the bread at the table from the master that is Israel's bread. Yes, Lord, because I know this, about your table. And I know this about you as Lord. There is so much at your table that even if crumbs fall off of that table, it is enough for even the dogs. It is enough even to know, yes, the Israel's Messiah has so much at his table that even the crumbs that fall, they are enough for me. The little Gentile dog, if I eat of that crumb, there will be more than enough. There will be 12 baskets of leftover pieces, I know, just by a little crumb from your table. That is enough. A crumb, it is sufficient for me. It is enough to eat and be satisfied. Jesus says to her, "O woman, great is your faith." You know, there's only two times in the entire book of Matthew that Jesus commends someone for their faith, and they're both Gentiles. One is this woman, and another is a Gentilic centurion who says, "I am not worthy to have you come under my house. Simply say the word, and I know that my servant will be healed." Only two people in the book of Matthew get commended for their faith, and it is not the Jewish bloodline. It is not Israel. But here, he says, "Woman, great is your faith," and he gives. Dear saints of the living God, Jesus does this. He hears the woman, and he commends her, and he graciously gives to a Gentile, to an outsider of Israel. Do you know how comforting that is? Do you know how absolutely rich and bountiful in comforting that is? Dear saints of the living God, consider your own heritage. Not many of you are of Jewish bloodline. You know what I see? I see a bunch of Bohemians. I see a bunch of Germans. I see a bunch of Norwegians. I see a bunch of Poland and Austria and various countries. I see very little Jewish bloodline sitting among us today. And yet, are you not, as Gentile outsiders, not flesh and blood Israel, are you not as Gentile outsiders regularly pleading with your God in prayer? Not about a demon-possessed daughter, I'll grant you that. I don't know anyone here who's uttered that prayer. But I have heard you utter prayers, and I know them all too well. Lord, help me. My son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, they're not getting better. Help them in their cancer. Help them stop the bleeding. Help them, Lord, figure out what's going on. Give them a treatment. Restore them to health. Don't let them die. Lord, I have once again, this sin that keeps running through my mind, and no matter how much I try to get rid of it, it's just there. Lord, help me move past this mistake, this regret. Don't let this be the sum totality of my life. Don't let it end like this. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help my husband, help my wife, help my friend. Remember me when I walk into that Alzheimer's and dementia ward? Let them recognize who I am today. Don't let them ask me who I am. Just let them know who I am. Give me a little bright spot here so that I know that they are still with me and they love me. Lord, help me in my loneliness. Help me find a spouse. Help me find a faithful friend. Lord, in my loneliness, at the death of my spouse, at the death of my child, at the death of my close friend, help me pick up my life. I don't know what to do. I've lost my purpose. I'm used to living with them, and now I got nothing. Lord, help me. And though you have not received the full table, the Lord hasn't just given everything you've ever asked. Still, like the woman, you are not discouraged. Still, like the woman, you know and you firmly believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He is David's Lord. David's Lord and David's Son inseparably joined together. And knowing this, you continually and persistently and faithfully cry out to this God, knowing and firmly believing that this Jesus has even enough for you and I, Gentiles. Even the smallest crumb that falls from the master's table. Because let's face it, sometimes you don't get the whole banquet, right? You don't get everything you ask for our Lord in prayer. Sometimes you just get a little crumb. And you firmly know and you firmly believe that that is enough. That His grace is sufficient for you and that His power is made perfect in your weakness. And you can eat of that crumb. You can receive that crumb. And it is enough to satisfy your deep hunger and carry you through to the great banquet of our God. And so, in the face of your sin, crying out, Lord, do not leave me. Do not let this sin haunt me again. Our Lord says, here is your crumb. From the master's table. I forgive you all your sins. I hold nothing against you. Heaven is wide open. I have loved you unto death. I have stretched out my hands on the cross for you in love, and nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is your crumb. That's enough for 12 baskets left over. That's enough for grace upon grace. In your hour of need, I have heard your pleas. They have not fallen on deaf ears. I know the desires of your heart. And though I have not granted health and healing right now in the way you have wanted it, here is your crumb. It is nothing less than a tasteless, synodically pressed thin wafer of cardboard you call bread, and the cheapest of wines that you know as Mogan David that you can buy by a jug. You shouldn't be able to buy wine by a jug. That's not classy, right? And yet our Lord takes those things and He says, here is my crumb for you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are mine. I bought you with my own blood. I put my cross on your forehead and on your heart. My heart is turned to you. I will be with you. I will strengthen you. I will be your God. I will carry you through this. All of this. These crumbs make you depend even more on Him who raises from the dead. And I save the last and lowliest of crumbs, I suppose, for us all. It's that moment where you are suspended between death and life, when you are at the graveside of your loved one, and you know that your life is about to change forever. They're not going to be there to hug you. They're not going to be there in this life anymore to give you guidance by the sound of their voice. For all intents and purposes, in this life, you will not see them again. And it is in that moment that our Lord gives you a crumb. He gives you a word of promise to hold on to. And it is rich, and it is deep, and it is satisfying. You will live, Jesus says, even though you die. Because I am the resurrection and I am the life. Everyone who looks to me, everyone who believes in me has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. I will call them out of the grave like I called Lazarus. I will take them by the hand and I will say, arise and come with me. I will put my spirit in you and you will live again. Your body will be changed from mortality to immortality, indestructible, evil-free life. I will wipe every tear from your eyes and you shall eat at my banquet. You shall bask in the mountain of your God. You shall eat of rich wine and drink food with full of marrow. So come with me, you who are blessed by my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. You will look at your enemy death, and you will see it destroyed forever, and you will bask in the eternal life of your eternal God. All of that is said to you, of course, in these words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. And as Christians, we know that death is not the end of the story. So the committal service ends with the Easter greeting. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. O congregation, saints of the living God, Gentile dogs just like me, how great is your faith? It will never be put to shame. Your faith, your prayers, they are not in vain. So cast regularly, cast perpetually, cast continually all your anxieties upon the Son of David, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, because he cares even for you, O Gentile. In Jesus' name, amen.